Now, having performed over 200 shows spanning three centuries, the Southend Operatic and Dramatic Society has been described by a former critic for the stage as one of the most foremost operatic societies in the whole country. And they're busy preparing for their latest production, La Cage aux Folles, which they're staging at the Palace Theatre in Westcliff next month. To tell us more, I'm joined by the Society's Publicity Officer, Mark Evans-Lee, who plays one of the leading characters, along with two other members of the cast, Ian Scoging and Declan Wright. And I'm just thinking there, Ian, I bet I got your name wrong.
It's Scoging, but you're close.
I'm not doing so well. Not doing so well with my words this morning. Mark, let's start with you. Keen to learn more about sods, as you know, in a little while. And I'm not being rude when I say that, as it's quite an amazing history you've got. But let's first talk about La Cage aux Folles. It's basically a musical farce, is it?
Yeah, I mean, it started off originally as a play, and it got developed later on by the wonderful Harvey Fierstein and turned into the stage musical. And then you might recognise it if you've seen the film The Birdcage, that's based on the same story
that
as well.
That was the Robin Williams.
That's right, Robin Williams and Nathan Lane. And it's basically the same story, just without the amazing songs that are in the musical.
Right. So which of the characters are you three guys playing?
Well, myself, I'm playing Alban, who is basically the headliner in the nightclub, La Cage aux Folles. So he's a female impersonator as well, and becomes the wonderful Zaza when he's on stage.
And Declan?
I'm playing Jean-Michel, who is the son of Alban, who consequently sends a plot twist throughout the play, and there's a kind of a revelation at the very end.
Which we won't talk too
spoilers.
Much about. And Ian, what's your
I'm playing not Zaza. No, I wish I was Zaza, but I'm actually Mercedes the Magnificent, who is a Cargel, who is the backing dancers for Mark, and I'm the understudy to Zaza.
So, in case, I mean, you've given us a bit of a flavour of what it's about. It's basically set in a, I suppose you'd call it a nightclub in the, what is it, the 40s, is it?
Yes, in late France. 40s in France, Saint-Tropez area.
If somebody's not seen the Birdcage and isn't familiar with the story, what, very briefly, without giving too much away, obviously, what is the basic plot?
The basic plot is boy meets girl. Boy has same-sex parents. Obviously, there's an involvement with his birth mother, and the girl that the boy falls in love with is the daughter of a very prominent senator who is very right-wing and against that sort of thing.
And I guess actually being set in the 40s, attitudes were very different, even in France. You know, on the continent, these continentals, even they had different attitudes in those days to what we might have today, I suppose.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Which probably makes it even more funny, actually, because guess the comedy is in the extreme.
It's the sort of juxtaposed position, and it really is a very good farce. It's such a funny show, and it is like you say. It's so prevalent to today, and it's the same themes as going on, and it's just basically saying be who you are and be happy in that mode, sort of thing.
Mark, you say on the website for Sods that we take what we do seriously, but never ourselves, which I think is absolutely great. I mean, I suppose that must be particularly true for performing something like this, comedy generally, but particularly something that has got an element of farce in it. Because I guess you've really got to be so precise and get everything spot on, haven't you?
Most definitely. I mean, this show is the first time Sods has ever taken it on. Not many companies actually do this show. I think there's only one more amateur production after us in the area, and then it's being taken back off the amateur. It's a it's got a cult following. It's got a lot of people who know the show inside out, and it's a very intricate show. I mean, particularly the dance numbers, the opening dance number, I think totals at about 12 minutes. And then in the middle of Act 1, you've got another whole dance section. There's three sections of dance back to back, which is a good 15, 20 minutes worth. And what makes it even more difficult, I guess, is because a big number of those dancers are guys that are dressed as women, wearing heels, trying to do the can-can.
Is it a mainly male cast, Declan?
No. Oops, sorry.
It doesn't matter, really. I just want to bring Declan in, really.
He was asleep.
Whoever wants to take it.
I would say it's kind of it's a bit of a mix, really. The Kajals and the they're mixed. The kind of idea with the Kajals is the makeup and stuff like that, you got to kind of guess. It's kind of to hide who's male, and you got to kind of guess and be who's female, who's male, and it's supposed to hide who is who, and it's got to leave you guessing at the end. And I think we do have quite a good range of characters within the cast.
Right. It's a big theme of the show is that it's not about the fact that it's man dressed as woman, because the Kajals, the whole point throughout the songs, they're saying, you know, you don't know who is who and what is what. It's all about the air of illusion more than anything. So the women are also dressed up, and we have a very good mixture between the two, so that the audience will be sitting there and they won't know until the big reveal who is men and who is women.
So whilst it is basically a comedy, it's a musical, it's entertainment, there is quite a message here.
I think overall the message is about love, particularly there's like the love story between a father and his son, and the lengths at which a parent will go to, because Jean-Michel puts him in a bit of an awkward situation with his partner and with the senator, where they end up having to try and pretend to be things they're not, which in a world we live in now where we're all talking about equality is the exact thing you shouldn't be doing. And so it's about how far that father will go. There's also the love story between the two guys and the love story between Jean-Michel and Anne. So there's all these different love stories and how they are affected by this one person, really, who's got very outdated views.
Ian, what about the costumes? I mean, I guess from a technical point of view, we say there's quite a lot of intricacy in this, but I'm just thinking in terms of costumes and makeup, that must be quite a thing in itself.
We have a couple of very quick costume changes, and we've actually been having beauty schools where we've been taught how to put our Kajal makeup on by the director, David Street, who actually toured in Le Cage professionally, and he's been teaching us how to put it on and take it off and put it on again, and it's been an absolute incredible amount of education for myself, for learning how to become a woman, a convincing woman, as well as the makeup and the costumes. And but the costumes are the ones from the revival.
Yes.
In the late 80s, was it?
Yeah.
The late 80s. So it's a traditional Le Cage, where the Broadway revival was very much a modern twist on it. But we've taken it back to the original, and it's going to be absolutely fantastic.
I'm guessing it's probably quite a lot of fun to be doing, isn't it?
It's such an education to be able to learn to dance on heels. I mean, David was actually putting on extra rehearsals for Mondays for us to learn the dance, because it's such an intense first act of dancing, and it's just an amazing education.
So that's been a blast. That's right at the start of the show, is it?
Right at the start.
So you're really sort of going in feet first.
It opens with a bang.
Right,
all guns blazing.
Yeah, all guns blazing. Yes. Yeah.
How many in the cast, Declan?
I wouldn't say it's like a big cast. It's quite intimate. It's about 25. People cast, person cast.
And that's a fairly sort of average sort of thing for a musical, is it?
It's a little bit smaller.
Yeah, it's smaller than an average size cast, but it's reasonable with the theatre that we're at. It's a more intimate. We can have that like relationship with the audience that we wouldn't have on a larger scale theatre, we can, like, we get to actually, like, see more of the audience reaction, and we can play with that reaction, whether in a big theatre we may lose that. It's kind of that reaction that within Le Cage that we kind of act off of. We
need, right,
and it's kind of it. Yeah, we, it's needed within the show.
For Zaza, she does quite a bit of talking to the audience, and so you do need that kind of reaction from them, because if they don't react, it makes it a lot harder to then find your next line, almost.
I'm almost thinking that it sounds like it could have a wider appeal than maybe, I don't want to sort of say this, but almost your bog standard traditional musical production.
Oh, definitely. I mean, the themes in the show alone extend out to every single one of us, because we've all had that moment where you want to just scream at the world and say, look, guys, this is me, and if you don't like it, I'm really sorry, but this is me. And that doesn't just apply in the story, it's about a gay man, but that can apply to absolutely anyone who's ever had that moment in their life when they just want to say, I am what I am.
So that's fundamentally the message, yeah. is accept people for being
exactly
people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, great. Look, we haven't actually said when and where you're putting it on.
That would help.
Yeah. Yes, it's actually at the Palace Theatre in Westcliff, running from the 2nd to the 5th of April in the evenings at 7:30.
That's the Wednesday.
Yes, the Wednesday on the 2nd. And we have matinees as well for those who like a matinee performance on the Thursday and the Saturday.
That's good, having a couple of matinees.
Yes, it's a very full-on week. We're going to be very tired.
So what's that? That's six performances.
Six performances.
Wow.
In 4 days.
Yes. You're going to be absolutely exhausted.
Yes, definitely. And we have a special offer for anyone listening to Phoenix today. You can actually get your tickets, get a discount on your tickets, if you call up the Palace Theatre box office on 01702 351 135, is that right? Yep. And give them the code Phoenix Le Cage, or Le Cage Phoenix, sorry. They will give you a discount on your tickets.
Le Cage Phoenix.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to think of how you say Phoenix in a French accent.
Yeah. I'm not very good at accents.
You know what?
You discovered, so.
A few weeks ago, I had the guys from Early Doors Productions in. They were putting on quite a different production. They were doing Trainspotting, which wasn't a musical as such. and one of the things I was fascinated there was the accents, obviously the Edinburgh accents. How do you guys find the French? Does it sort of come naturally, or have you had to have sort of lessons on that?
We're actually performing it in English.
Right. I didn't mean with the language.
But with no accents.
English accents.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
There's
an
occasional word.
There's obviously the French. French accent on certain words, but you have to have that, don't you?
So I don't feel so guilty now for saying La Cage au Folle now.
No.
I can just be very, very sort of anglais about it.
We've heard some interesting ways of pronouncing it around Southend.
Look, I'm keen to learn some more about Southend Operatic and Dramatic Society, including something about your history and also your next production, which is something that was most famous as a film starring Whoopi Goldberg shortly. I haven't even said that right. I'm getting on with it. I really, really ought to shut up. We do need to take a bit of a break first, though. That's Gloria Gaynor's version of I Am What I Am, just one of the songs which features in La Cage au Folle, which is being performed next month at the Palace Theatre in Westcliff by the Southend Operatic and Dramatic Society. And I'm chatting with three members of the cast, Mark Evans-Lee, Declan Wright and Ian Scoging. Mark, as you were telling us before the break, you're playing Albin, who's
Albin.
Albin.
It's fine. I've been called many things throughout rehearsals.
As long as you've got it right.
Yeah.
Female impersonator at the nightclub in Saint-Tropez, it was originally, wasn't it? I mean, is your club based in Saint-Tropez, or is it sort of more generic in terms of...
It is generic, but within the songs there are references to Saint-Tropez.
Right, Saint-Tropez, where the original story was certainly based anyway. Now, presumably that song, I Am What I Am, which sums up the whole meaning and purpose of the plot, presumably that is one of your solo numbers, is it? Because you're playing...
Yeah, it certainly is. It's a very different version, but it's actually my big... Act One closing number. It closes Act One. It's a bit more sort of ballad-like, but it comes at a time when my character has basically just been told that because of his flamboyance and his character that he's not needed at home. They want to get him out of the way so that they can try and pretend to have this normal, in brackets, family to impress this politician that's coming, this senator. So... it's a big number. It's quite a responsibility to take on because I know it's a very special song to a lot of people as well. Obviously,
he does it very well.
It's a very big gay anthem.
It is quite an iconic song, isn't it?
Yeah, so you don't want to play around and get it wrong.
Mm. So there's a lot of pressure on you there.
Yes.
And I'm thinking not only in terms of getting that song right and playing before an audience, many of whom are going to be, you know, really wanting to for you to get that right, but also you're singing in front of the rest of the cast as well. So that's quite an ordeal, isn't it?
No, I kind of love that part of it. It's always nerve-wracking. The first few times I have to sing in front of the cast, but then once I get used to them being there, I'm okay. And I'm actually kind of more nervous about singing in front of them than I am an audience. Because an audience, they come in, they watch the show, they go away. Mm-hmm. And hopefully enjoy the show, which they will. Whereas with the cast, you know, I have to see them and work with them. So if I get it wrong, I don't know. There's more nerves amongst people you know rather than complete strangers.
I guess
I'm not nervous about the singing in this show. The stuff that I'm nervous about are much, well, I suppose, smaller things. It's things like having to put on a full face of makeup live on stage while singing one of the other numbers.
Really?
Including false eyelashes.
Wow.
That is quite something. We've been doing lots of timed runs to see if I can fit it all into three and a half minutes.
Because I suppose sort of delivering the lines is sort of fairly standard in terms of the timing of how long that takes. But putting the makeup on...
Yeah. That's one of the great things about this show, because no other show out there will you get the opportunities to do these things. So the guys in the show, you know, they've taken a risk in a way because they're doing something completely out of their comfort zone, never done it before. They're being made to dance like they've never danced before, wear heels, put makeup on, and all these things. It's
certainly the most diverse show we've ever done.
Definitely.
Tell us something about the history of SODS. I was saying earlier that you've been around for well over 100 years. You were founded in 1893. Now, I'm guessing that none of you go back too far with SODS.
Well,
no. I mean, I've only been with the company 4 years. Declan,
I'm coming up to a year in like May.
Really? Because Declan, you're playing quite a major character in this.
Yeah,
so
show.
Have you got experience before you joined Southend Operatic?
I did Joseph in the West End with Lee Mead.
Right.
I was in the kids' chorus with that, and I was also part of the Carmel Thomas Youth Singers. I've done a few bits of amateur around Southend.
Right, so this must be quite an exciting one to be doing.
Yeah, because I'm more nervous doing this show than I was about the first show I did with SODS. Because obviously, because it is the principal role, and when I'm on stage, it's straight on stage, I'm on stage for a good, like, what, five, ten minutes for my first kind of introduction to the audience.
Yeah, yeah. So going back to the history of SODS, so you go back, what is it? It's about 100 and,
it's our 125th birthday next year.
My goodness, really is something quite impressive.
We're one of the oldest in the country. We're not quite the oldest theatre group, but we are one of the oldest. We keep being moved around the chart a little bit because obviously with companies that close or we discover a new company or things like that. But there's actually a list somewhere in the wonderful world of the internet that says we're in the top 10. So
I can well believe it. How many productions have you put on over that time?
Oh, it's well over 200. For the most of those 125 years, there's been two shows a year. obviously taking a few out here and there for certain reasons and the war and so on.
You stopped during the
yeah, there
the
was a period
well,
where
two,
they
two had, wars right. actually in that
yeah,
period,
yeah.
weren't
they? We've been through both. So yeah, it's over 200 shows. I can't remember the.
Do
I think
you
it's
have
216?
Is
off
it
the
really?
Top of my head.
So that, I guess that is sort of roughly two
yeah.
productions a year.
Yeah.
Do you have any members with you who have been around for quite some time?
We do actually. Joan Shakespeare. She's probably our longest standing member. I think because we recently gave an award for the number of shows she'd done. I can't remember what it was now. The number. It was something ridiculous that I don't think anyone will ever achieve that again. You know, she's been with the company since her very early years and been quite a few years. But there's a nice mix within the company. You know, you've got your people who have been there sort of upwards of 20 years and been gone from being in the chorus to doing principal roles and just still loving it every time they come back to us. And then we're starting to get a lot more new members coming in now, which is always lovely to see. And they're not just youngsters either. We get new people who, like, in their 30s. I mean, I was 26 when I came to the society. We get people from all different ages that still have always kind of wanted to be in part of it. So, and they come along and audition and become part of it.
And I guess with a lot of productions you put on, you know, the characters dictate that you need some older ones, some younger ones.
Most definitely. I mean, we try as a company to have shows that we want to do things that are going to appeal to our modern audiences, but because of our heritage and our history, we have to sort of respect that, and we like to put out some classic shows as well. And the one thing I've always noticed in difference between them is that the classic shows tend to have a much broader cast base. You need much bigger choruses, there's a lot more principal parts, with bigger age ranges and so on. Modern shows tend to reduce the number of cast members, and I suppose that comes from when they were on the West End stage, and on Broadway they were cheaper to have less cast.
Yeah.
So it's we always need a huge sort of rainbow of different ages to put on the shows.
Well, thinking about that, Ian, I know you're looking beyond La Cage to your next production. Tell us
that's
going to be.
That's going to be Sister Act, made
right.
famous by Whoopi Goldberg.
One of those films that was really sort of defined almost by the actor, by Whoopi Goldberg.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So you're looking to be casting for this
We've
soon,
got an open audition, I think it's the 23rd of March, and we're looking for someone to play Dolores. It's absolutely such an iconic part that we need to have the right person in place, and it's everyone's invited to come along and audition.
So when you say an open audition, it's beyond membership of SOD, so it's literally anybody.
Yes. I mean, yes, yeah.
I mean, obviously, I guess for somebody with such a major role, you're obviously looking for somebody with some experience.
Absolutely, yes.
What about other characters, other members of the cast? Are you casting for that?
That's after La Cage finishes. We have a introduction night, and then the auditions for the rest of the cast are set. I think it's around
normally
about the 18th.
Weeks.
And this will be for the autumn, I guess, will it?
This is, yes, November, yes.
Right, so you're constantly sort of thinking ahead,
it's,
aren't you?
Absolutely. And the following show, which is going to be Carousel, has already been, the director's been appointed and the musical director's been appointed for that. So they're starting to work on that, getting ideas.
Works to a certain sequence.
Absolutely,
I guess after 120 plus years, you're getting there.
We're starting to get organised. Yes.
So, Mark, you were talking about your membership and how many people are involved with you. Obviously, if anybody wants to audition for Dolores, that is, you know, that is a particular role, but but. Beyond that, you're looking for people, whether they want to go on stage in Sister Act, or perhaps, I suppose, there's always things to be doing behind the scenes as well.
That's exactly. I mean, we're all, in terms of new members, we are always looking for new members. The last check, I think we actually have over 100 acting members. So, and, you know, there's no obligation to do every single show or anything like that, so it's fine. We have regular, throughout the year, regular auditions for our male and female members to come in. The best way with those is to, if you go onto our website, all the details about membership are on there. You basically get in touch with our membership secretary and she will book you into our next audition slot. And what will happen is you'll come in and we'll get you to sing, obviously, and do a small piece of dialogue and just have a chat, really. It's nothing too formal. I think the word audition really scares people just because it's called an audition and we don't like it to be quite as scary as all that.
Well, we always need backstage people, yep, wardrobe, makeup people.
So even the people that don't want to perform on stage, if you do still love you can the sort of the theatre world, man, you can get involved that way. We have patronage available as well, so people can get involved in lots of different ways. And we're always looking for backstage crew and people to help with things like makeup on a show like this, wardrobe, and so on and so forth. And there are all contacts on our website that you can have.
Brilliant stuff. And that is Southend. I had the website southendoperatic.co.uk. Brilliant stuff. Look, we do need to leave it there, but before you go, do just remind us when and where people can go along and see La Cage aux Folles.
Yeah. Do please come along and see La Cage aux Folles. Mm. It's running from Wednesday the 2nd of April up until Saturday the 5th at the Palace Theatre in Westcliff.
And if people want tickets, yes, give the box office a ring. What's the number there again?
It's 01702 351 135.
351 135. 01702 351 135. And if you mention La Cage Phoenix, you will get a special discount.
Yes, special discount rate. And that only runs until next Friday. So you've got a week to get your tickets, guys.
Excellent. Mark, Declan, Ian, thank you so much for popping in this morning. Do drop by again in a few months to tell us about Sistrack, won't you?
Oh, most definitely.